Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one.
This morning, everybody's looking all pretty and happy. Just love the Lord this morning. What a beautiful morning He's given us. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. As we do, and we're very blessed. I said this the other evening, with all the technology and all the things going forth, but that we're able to keep in touch and all the prayer requests and all the needs that have gone forth. But as we gather this morning, I'm just going to ask each and every one of you as we pray. Go ahead and just clear your mind. Just release it all to the Lord this morning, our prayer. Let Him just come into this house, and Lord, and just into our hearts, and just let us just worship and praise Him and be prepared for the Word as it comes forth this morning. So if you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for such a beautiful day You've given us, for an opportunity You've given us to come together in Your house and in Your name. Lord, as we gather now, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to worship You, dear Lord, ready to praise Your holiness, dear Lord, ready to receive the word that You've set forth before us this morning. Dear Lord, as we gather here, dear Lord, we gather in the children's church and in the nursery. We ask, dear Lord, for each and every prayer request, each and every need to be touched, dear Lord. You've seen the hands that were raised. You know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord. You know the needs we have even before we speak it. And, dear Lord, we're asking You now just to touch each and every situation. Those that are in the hospital, those that are sick and shut in and not able to be with us, dear Lord, in the nursing homes, assisted living. Lord, those that are traveling this morning, Lord, we ask for You to keep them safe, dear Lord, and again for us in our service. Dear Lord, You know the needs. And, dear Lord, we're thanking You now for hearing our cries, dear Lord, for hearing our prayer. And, dear Lord, we're releasing it to You. Lord, we're asking for your healing, your protection, your touch. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you, dear Lord. We just worship you, dear Lord. We ask now that you'll just bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your work, dear Lord, for each and every ministry, Lord, that comes forth from this congregation. We ask that you'll just touch it. Lord, let it be about you, dear Lord. Multiply it, dear Lord, that your word will go forth. Lord, we pray for those that are lost. And, dear Lord, we ask you to touch them now, dear Lord. They'll have that opportunity to turn their life around and to give it to you and find that peace that only you can provide. And, dear Lord, now we're just giving you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap. Praise. Praise God. That's that. What they were singing a minute ago, that friend in Jesus, someone that we can go to. Closer than a brother. I praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 306. It's an old song. We used to do this a lot when we first started church here. The old gospel ship. Let's just sing and worship the Lord. Tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He does. He really does. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Y'all sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Amen. Amen. Like I said earlier, let's just turn all our attention on the Lord. Good to see all of our visitors and friends have been able to join us this morning. Some of those we haven't seen in a while. Just good to see y'all. Praise the Lord. As we get ready to take up our morning offering, I've got one announcement up here that we're going to be mentioning fairly regular from now till it happens. Don't forget on March 20th, I'm giving you plenty of notice to mark a Sunday evening date, the 20th Sunday evening. Mark it on your calendar. We're going to have our multi-church service as we had before Christmas. Wonderful time, a group of churches gathered together. It's going to be here at First Pentecostal. And each and every one of you is invited. Come back and come in expecting powerful move from God, and also a special offering will be taken up that night, and we're just really excited about it. It was so much fun last time and very, very powerful, so we want to continue that And just be in much prayer for it, if you will, please. And that's the only announcement.
Choir practice at 5.
Choir practice at 5. That's an important one. We don't want to miss it. And if you want to be in the choir, this is a perfect evening to come join. Just see Miss Penny if you have any questions. All right. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amazing love, how can it be?
Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling down? Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody wanna testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, can I get a witness? Are you standing in a fire fire and the flames won't let you go. But you're still holding on to a single thread of hope that the Lord can deliver, and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, can I get a witness? You can't stay silent if you can't keep quiet. Then here's your chance. Here's your chance. Can I get a witness?
Just go on and raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify?
If you cried out for me, you've seen him do the impossible,
can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
I wanted to testify. If I could, I didn't. Wasn't able to do it before we started singing the song. But my oldest son is walking in now, Lazarus. 20 years ago today, I had him. But God healed my body that year of cancer. When they told me I would not have kids, I have two handsome sons. And 12 years ago this year was my open heart surgery. God has been good to me. Can I get a witness? If he's ever done anything that was impossible, God is able. Amen. I praise him today.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. How many has been blessed by God?
Hallelujah.
All right. Got any saved folks in the house? Come on. Give it up for Jesus, the one who made it possible. Well,
praise God, praise God.
Well, today is a very special day. Amen. The Lord has given us another time to come in this house to worship, yes, praise, yes, and glorify him. And we have several birthdays today. So, actually, our son has a birthday today. He's just turned 44. Now, I know y'all don't think we're old enough to have a kid 44 years old. But we do, and Sister Penny's got a poem I think she wants to read in honor of Kevin. And you all know what the Lord has done for Kevin.
Yes. How many chosen people we got in here?
Hallelujah.
Well, I just want y'all to know that I was chosen twice. God chose me to be his child, and he chose me and Eddie to be the parents of a special child. And every year on Kevin's birthday, I get this poem out and read it. So this is not just for me and Eddie today, but for any parent, grandparent, whatever, that has raised a special needs child. This is for you. You are chosen. You probably don't know that, but you are chosen. The name of this is Heaven's Very Special Child. A meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angel to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. His progress may seem very slow, accomplishments he may not show, and he'll require extra care from the folks he meets way down there. He may not run or laugh or play, his thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways, he won't adapt, and he'll be known as handicapped. So let us be careful where he's sent. We want this life to be content. Please, Lord, find parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for this gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child. So, you see, I am chosen more than one time. That's how you can be chosen twice. I'm a very special person to be the parent of a special needs child. And I appreciate God for everything he's done for us and given Kevin to us for 44 years. He was only supposed to be here for about 6 years. But God is good. He is so good.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, and I'm supposed to get up and preach after that. I want to remind my wife that she has been chosen 3 times. I chose you, sweetheart. Well, actually, if story has it to be correct, she chose me. Amen. I was running with all the energy I had, and she was trying to catch up. Thank God she did. Amen. I'm not going to sing. I just want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Church, let all of our visitors know how much we love them. Amen. How glad we are that they came to worship. They could have been anywhere this morning, but they chose to come and worship the Lord with us, and we're so very thankful for that. Amen. Just love the Lord with all my heart. Amen. God has been so good and so gracious to us. I'm going to try to get my mind right on the message this morning. I desire your prayers. Amen. That God will give me the deliverance to bring what I feel that he has laid upon my heart this morning. If you would go with me to the book of Matthew, St. Matthew in the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. 6th chapter of Matthew. Beginning with verse number 33. It's good to hear the pages of God's word being turned this morning. Let's start at the 30th verse and read down through verse 33. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each and every person that is here today. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we would give you our undivided attention, that we'd lay aside every weight, every care, every trouble, every sorrow this morning, Father, and get our mind right on you. God, I pray that you would feed us that heavenly manna. God, speak through this vessel, this oracle, God, that you might get honor and glory. But God, that we might hear from heaven this morning, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to someone, tell them you love them, and you may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We do love you. All right. There's a lot of love going on this morning. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Keep God First. Keep God First. In every aspect of our lives, we are encouraged. Actually, we are warned
to keep God first. I'm thinking of Adam and Eve and how that they was placed in a utopia, if you will. Perfect garden. A place where they would not have to toil or sweat. Everything was glorious and perfect. And if we read the Bible, they were putting God first for a little while. But they didn't keep him first. Those two short words mean, have great meaning. Many people have in fact started and put God first, but they didn't keep him first. For whatever reason, they let other things infiltrate their lives. Whether it be a hectic, busy schedule, whether it be adversity, whether it be sickness or affliction, whatever the case may be, many had good intentions. Many started strong, always saying that God is always going to be first in my life, but nevertheless, he began to be put down on the priority list lower and lower and lower. I pray this morning that that is not the case with those of us who have gathered here today. And if it is, then I pray that we put God back where he needs to be and where he has asked or demanded that he would be. The Bible tells us of so many episodes and so many different scenarios of where people were obedient unto God, and some were very trusting in God, and God blessed them and anointed them. But I want you to understand this morning, in putting God first, it is not always, or keeping God first, it is not always the easiest or the most convenient thing to do. We have to work at it. It's an ongoing process. In fact, many times we have to stop and analyze and take inventory of our spiritual walk with God and say, Lord, am I really putting you first in my life, and am I keeping you first in my life? Or do I just rearrange it when I have a need, or when I have a prayer request, or when there is an emergency in my life? Suddenly those priorities are reshuffled and God finds himself again at the top of the list, only to find himself slipping when things settle down and we get better, or we get well, or the situation has been corrected. I don't want to live life that way. In fact, that is not pleasing unto God. Once we're born again, once we invite Jesus Christ to come into our life, not only do we give him a place of abode, but we also give him authority in our life to lead us and to guide us as he would have us to go. We don't accept Jesus to lead him around, amen, and make him fit into our lifestyle. In fact, I would say to us that it is the other way around. When we come in, we ask him to be Savior, but we also ask him to be Lord of our life, giving him the authority to lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path that he would have us to go. I'm reminded of Abraham this morning. Bible says that he was known as the friend of God. What a title. What a glorious title. I want to be known as the friend of God. He's certainly my friend. As the song says, I got a friend in Jesus. Amen. Jesus is my friend. What a friend we have in him. But am I a friend to him? Am I someone he can count on? Am I someone that is devoted to him? Am I someone that will converse with him on a daily basis? If you're not taking advantage about talking to the Lord every day of your life, you need to. Amen. There's no greater privilege, there's no greater honor, amen, or benefit than to be able to go to the Lord each and every day. So many times we get caught up, and the only time we go to the Lord is when we need something. But I will assure you, if you'll just call him up and love him and thank him and praise him and say, Lord, this is, I don't really have anything to ask today. I just wanted to let you know that you are the Lord of my life, and I love you, and I thank you, and I praise you. I will assure you that your day will go much better. Abraham, known as the friend of God. Abraham purposed in his heart to keep God first. Now, when we come to an altar of repentance, there is no way that we can get born again without putting God first in our life. There's no way. I mean, you can say I'm sorry all day long. You can shake my hand. I can put your name on the roll book. But that alone will not save you. It takes a born-again experience. It takes the opening up of your heart's door, inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life. Amen. Understanding and knowing that we have sinned. Understanding and knowing that we confess our sins to the Lord. And knowing that we repent of a contrite and broken spirit. Opening the door wide and asking Jesus Christ to save us by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary and come in and make us a new person. I am so glad that I'm not the old person that I was before Jesus came into my life. As the Amazing Hulk would say, you wouldn't like me very much. You remember when he got all mad and turned green? I don't remember turning green, but I used to get all mad. Sometimes I still get mad, but I have to remember that God is first in my life. God, give me patience, give me understanding, give me long-suffering, make me gentle, meek, and mild, as your word tells us to do so. But I want you to understand, Abraham was asked to do a very difficult thing. Some of us think that just because we live for the Lord, that life's going to be a bed of roses, and it's going to be a wonderful path, and we'll never have any problems, issues, sorrow, sickness, won't even get any bad attitudes. Let me tell you something. You still live in a body of flesh. That spirit that is within you is perfect, but they ain't a perfect flesh person sitting under the sound of my voice today. There's some that's close. And if you ask them, they're pretty close. They're closer than you think they are. Some folks think they're absolutely all that. We got any of those in the house, by the way? I'm glad nobody raised your hand. We'd have to altar call if you did. But many times that we're asked to do things that go against our flesh, things that are uncomfortable, going through trials and problems and tribulations and situations that we think, God, have you forsaken me? And he has not, by the way. He has not. In fact, if you read the Bible, many of the great patriarchs of old had situations and troubles and trials that they had to go through. But I can stand here today behind the pulpit and tell you, you'll never, ever face them alone when Jesus is in control of your life. Amen. You've always got a friend in Jesus. So Abraham, known as the friend of God, dedicated, committed, loving, and just appreciative to everything that God had done, just daily devotions to him, was asked by God to give a sacrifice. Now you understand that before the dispensation of grace, there were sacrifices that were given up, blood, atonement for or rolled back from goats and bullocks and rams and all of those things. But God took it a step further. He saw Abraham. He knew Abraham. God knows you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. He knows everything about you. And that's the reason I'm so thankful. He still loves me. He knows all my faults and failures, and he still loves me. And he knew Abraham. And he asked Abraham to go and give a sacrifice. Now, if you're a Bible reader, you know that Abraham and his wife had been childless until they were 90 years old, and then God blessed them with a son whose name was Isaac. Now, Abraham was a wealthy man. He had herds, he had sheep, he had all of those things that he could have given unto the Lord. But you know, the Lord required, I want you to take your son, your only son, to a place where I will tell you of, and there I want you to build an altar and sacrifice him to me. Now that is a great and mighty request even for God to make of his friend. But Abraham, when he started living for God, he didn't merely put God first, he kept God first. Through the good times, through the bad, through the sickness, through the well days, through the dark days, as well as the light. Whatever he faced, he kept God first in his life. And now comes this demand from God, takes her son Isaac to a place, a mountain, and there offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham gathered all the materials together, and he took Isaac by his... Can you imagine? Can you imagine what a request? Can you imagine taking the son that you'd waited on all of those years, but because he kept God first, because he knew it was more important to obey God than man, he takes his son up. And you Bible readers understand and know that when they got there, he was ready to offer a son as a sacrifice. They built the altar. They placed the wood. Even though this was amazing, Isaac took his own wood to the sacrifice. That's another story for another time. But he asked his father, he said, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? You remember Abraham's response? God will supply. We need to remember that. So he built the altar. Imagine the startled look in Isaac's eyes when that loving father reached down and picked him up and put him on the altar. Imagine, if you would, and I know when Facebook, when we put the little heart with a broken heart, meaning that your sadness is felt by us and we're praying for you. Imagine the broken heart of Abraham as he laid his only son on the altar and raised the knife in preparation to kill his son. Buddy, that's more than putting God first. That's keeping God first, regardless of what he asked. But how many knows that the rest of the story, the angel of God said, stay, do not kill him. And this is what I liked. He looked over, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. What a coincidence, as the world would say. But us believers would say, what a blessing. God always comes through, even when we don't understand it, even when we can't see it. If we keep God first, he will always come through. And I read a story once where the ram that was caught in the thicket, his horns were gnarled up in some vines and briars. The story told me that those were the same type of briars and vines that they used to make and fashion the crown of thorns that they placed on our sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen? Because I didn't have to be put to death on that cross. Jesus did it for me. You better put your hands together and thank Jesus for being that sacrificial lamb. But through it all, Abraham kept God first. Moses is an interesting character. Born of a Hebrew mother, raised in a palace by an Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter, only to realize that that wasn't his place. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with his people than to live in a paradise or a palace. And you know the story, how he had slain one of the soldiers there, one of the taskmasters, and he was a fugitive and a refugee from Egypt. But God told him, through a burning bush, I need you to go back to Egypt. Now, God's going to tell you some things sometime that absolutely going to floor you. Man, it's not going to make sense to you. But how many knows God sees the future and holds the future, and we're only in the present? Amen. God knows what's best for you. I'm just going to stop and say, you're not where you're going to stay. I don't know who God's talking to, but you're not where you're going to stay. You can't see where God's leading you. You can't see the door he's opening up for you. You can't see the blessing that he's formulating and fashioning and customizing right now for you. So don't give up. Don't get sulky and don't get pouty. Just keep God first and he will open that door. That didn't cost you any extra. So Moses was told by God to go down to Egypt, tell Pharaoh to let his people go, knowing that he was still a wanted man. Come on. Now that takes some guts to go back. after you've been a fugitive for something, 40 years or whatever, and then go back. But God had a purpose for him. God had chosen him to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Why? Because Moses kept God first in his life, even through adversity, even as though he was a fugitive and a vagabond from the country that he grew up in, because God had a purpose. If you keep God first in your life, there will be a purpose. God always has a purpose for each and every one of us. I'm going to try to hurry up here because I've got about a, I don't know, about a three-night message in 30 minutes. I mean, how are we doing on the clock? Anybody looking? Who'll give me 5 minutes? You give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25? Oh, well, hey, we're good. We're good. We'll go to David then. David was facing a giant. And he realized that the same God that was with him when he slew the lion and when he slew the bear. How many knows that sometimes your animals get bigger? We trust him for the little animal. Lord, if you want me to kill a rabbit, I'll just let me get a hold of his ears. But Lord, don't put no giant in front of me. 9 feet tall, with a spear longer than I am tall, with an armor bearer that barely can hold the shield up. But not David. Because David, when he put God first in his life, he intended to keep God first in his life. And he walks out, little old bitty scrawny thing, says, "You come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Amen. He knows that if we face our giants in the name of the Lord and keep him first in our life, we will always be victorious through our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've ever had an opportunity to slay a giant in your life, give God praise. It might not have been a physical giant. It may have been a burden. It may have been a sickness or affliction. But God gave you the victory. Amen. Time would not allow us to talk about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Even in captivity, even taken from their homeland, placed in unnatural settings, they still found a way to serve God. When they was told to bow down to this idol, Lord, I'm not trying to get political, but there is such a type and shadow to this. Let me dance and walk on eggshells as I bring this. No, he said, go ahead and preach it anyway. Okay. Even in a time of peer pressure and political correctness, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just bow down. You don't have to really put your heart into it. Just bow down like everybody else does. Don't bring no attention to yourself. Let me tell you something. Once you get born again, full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to bring attention to yourself. You don't act like other people. You don't think like other people. You don't converse like other people. There is something special about you. You are an anointed child of God. So don't try to hide it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Be thankful that Jesus loved you to fill you with his Spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just act like you're going along with it when they play the music and everybody bows down. And, you know, you don't have to put your heart in it. Just kind of fit in. You don't want to stick out. I think it's time for Christians to stick out. I think it's time for Christians to speak up. I think it's time for Christians to step up. I think it's time for the church to come out of hiding and say, no, we're not being a part of that. We're keeping God first in our life. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not bowing. And they was cast in the fiery furnace. But how many know? Fourth man showed up. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? This is what somebody else needs to hear today. The fourth man didn't show up until they were placed in the fire. Some of us Holy Ghost filled people say, Lord, show up before they put me in the fire. Show up before I have to go through that. Show up, Lord, because I don't want to face this situation. But only after they was placed in the fire, the fourth man showed up. Amen. The fire was so hot, it slew the servants who were throwing them in. That's a hot fire, but it did not scorch their eyebrows. It didn't singe their hair. It only burned the ropes that had them bound. Somebody ought to shout glory. Praise God. Daniel, we know what happened to him. He had him some pet lions. You know, that's what's wrong with us Christians now. We're scared to death of those lions that God just make a pet out of them. I wish I had time to tell you the story. I'll be real quick about it. Back when I was working for a living. Hey, man. Running a bread route, there was this one customer that I used to just get knots in my stomach every time I had to go by to see him. That was the onerist, gripingest, aggravatingest. Help me, Jesus. I'm trying to be sweet here. Downright mean men that God ever placed on this earth. And they was never satisfied. And he used to have this woman that worked for him, and I used to pray, Lord, let her be there today. Because she was real sweet. He was, ugh. But lo and behold, sometimes there he was. Amen. And, you know, it's been a long time. I might have been just the youth pastor, but there was this one day. When this man got up on the wrong side of the bed and his coffee wasn't ready and he'd hit every red light in town, his wife burned his breakfast, he was in the sourest mood. And I came in the door. He lit into me way rougher than my wife talks to me. He lit into me. And it was... I don't even know now why it was so upsetting. Something about some kind of bread I didn't leave him. And the man hardly didn't sell no bread at all. Picked up most of what I left, but he was just ranting and raving, and then he started cussing, and I said, no, sir. How many knows God heals busted lips and black eyes? No. I said, no, sir. I don't have to take that. You can fuss me out. You can call me anything you want to, but you're not going to start cussing me and calling me that. And I just started getting the bread off the shelf. And where are you going? I said, I'm taking this out of here. I ain't got to work you. So he changed his tune just a little bit, but he didn't apologize. Oh, rascal. Didn't apologize. Long story short, or some people say short story longer, several months later, and this is terrible, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God did this, but something changed his life. He lost his daughter, teenage daughter, in a terrible traffic accident. It mellowed him down to the point that you could actually converse with him. The last time I saw that man, he had some type of injury or surgery. And how many know those things that they put on your head that you have, you know, that's what happened to him. And don't get me, I did not pray for God to do that. I didn't ask God to make anything miserable. But something changed his life. God forbid that it takes people going through something like that just to mellow out to God. I don't ever want that to happen. I want God to check me way before it gets to that particular situation. So if you have somebody in your life that you just can't, just pray for them. Don't pray. And I didn't, honestly. I didn't pray that God would seek vengeance on him or, God, you take a hold. No, I didn't. I said, God, just mellow him out a little bit. I can stand a little bit. And you see what it changed his life. And I hope and pray that the man got God. That's my main intent. Because I want to see him in heaven. Amen. I mean, no, he'll be a different person in heaven. He's liable to hug my neck. If he don't hug mine, I might hug his. Daniel made a pet out of the lions. The disciples, at least 11, kept God first. You know what? I kind of think, and this is just ideology, I kind of think, oh, Judas was a pretty good boy. I think he really meant to serve Christ. I think that he was very trusted because they trusted him with a money bag. Something enticed him. Something allured him. And I'll tell you exactly right now, whatever it is in your life that Satan knows about it, he can deceive you and he can tempt you with that very thing that you have the hardest problem with. So that's what we have to watch. There's a lot of things in our life that's, oh, I don't need that. That never bothered me. But then there's that one thing that Satan knows about. You know how he knows about? Because we always say, that's one thing I just can't stand. You ever said that? And then you name it, and the devil says, let me write that down. And he comes at you like that. And he came at Judas with the money. And we know that Judas finally turned the Lord in for 30 pieces of silver. So at least 11 of them followed Jesus even after his death. I didn't mention one because it would take a long time, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Job lost everything, but still trusted God. Some didn't always keep God first. Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. Did not remain true to God. He did not keep God first. At one time, he put God first. And this certainly is a description and I'm not being judged. I'm trying my best never, ever to be judgmental. God did not call me to be a judge. He called me to be a servant. That's what minister means. It's a servant in a servant's capacity, preaching the gospel, loving folks, and trying to get them ready to go to heaven. But we understand that many people who start out sometimes allow God to go way, way, way down the priority list. Saul was one. Samson, and in all of his strength, slipped up and gave in to temptation. Thank God he got it right before he died. God blessed him with strength again. Sometimes we have to do like Samson. We have to shake it off and get back to where we need to be. Whatever that is, whether it's another trip to the altar, whether it's just a time of saying, Lord, I want you to refresh me and renew me in your spirit. And there's nothing wrong in asking God to do that, even though you're saved. Amen. God can still strengthen you. Jonah, who said, nope, ain't going to do it. And I know there's not a person in the sound of my voice who's ever told God, nope, ain't doing that, except me. And he changed my mind. Thank God he didn't throw me in the fish. Amen. And he even allowed me to do some little fishing. But he changed my heart and he changed my mind. And I finally said, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of being miserable. I'll do what you asked me to do. Finally, Judas. Again, we talked about him and you know what happened to him. Matthew 22:7, and I'm going to try to bring this to a close. And you better not say, praise the Lord. That's better. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Proverbs 3:6, says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Basically, it's saying, in all thy ways, keep him first. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you put God first, very top of your list. Everything, every thought was always continuously about him, but for whatever reason. Doesn't mean you're backslidden. Doesn't mean you lost out with God. Doesn't mean that God even cast you away. But it just means you've let it slip down the priority list. That would be a good thing for us to do, to search and say, Lord, have I really got you up there where you need to be, where you desire to be, and I want to keep you there, not just put you up there when I need you, but keep you there. It certainly made an impact on me as God spoke to me this week. Lord, everything else pales in comparison to keeping you first in my life and in my every day. Whether I'm sick, whether I'm well, whatever the situation is, God, I want you first. And let me tell you something. When he's first, he's always easy to find. Amen. I mean, he's never flipped through Facebook trying to find a post. It's in there somewhere. I know good and well it is, you know. Boy, if you'd had it right up there in your favorites. Hello? I think we can relate to that, can't we? God needs to be your favorite. He needs to be easily accessible. You need to be able to pull him up right there. Lord, I want to keep you first in everything I do, in everyday life. Sister Jennifer, if y'all would come to the music this morning, I want to open this altar, give you an opportunity. Certainly, if you have not been introduced to Jesus, if you have not accepted him as both Lord and Savior of your life, I don't know a better time, a better day to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. If, in fact, you've been born again for a number of years and things have crept into your life and maybe caused your priority list to be a little bit out of order, maybe you want to get it back in order and say, Lord, I just want a reassurance in my life, and I want a refreshing, and I want to just let you know, Lord, that I just want to keep you first in my life. Then this altar is open for you as well. Listen to Jesus. There is a name that is above all names, that glorious and wonderful name of Jesus. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after a rain. Sing it, church. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Sing it, Sister Jennifer. Sing it, church.
Jesus,
Jesus, I can't make it without you.
Jesus,
Lord, I just don't need you every once in a while. I need you every day in my life. I need you to be Lord and Savior. Help me, Lord, to put you first. Can you pray that?
Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, the rain.
praise your name, Jesus.
Yes, 1, 2, 3. One, two.
When life lets you down, you feel more broken than whole. When wounds go deeper than words, and you can't tell a soul. I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high mountain move, but one thing I've found that I really want you to know. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, friend, do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? Precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or your you're real. just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again, like fire in winter cold. Like a lighthouse to a sailor in a midnight storm. It's like a harbor to a ship that's been battered and torn. Like bread to a starving heart.
For me, he did not owe.
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. For me, I could not pay. My debt was growing every day, and I knew there was no way to overcome these trials down here below. Oh, but then one day he set me free, opened my eyes where I can see. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Yes, Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. For me, I could not pay.
Amen. For Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the Lord knows what we need, when we need it, and how much we need it. Praise God, praise God. We know that He's healing, He's healed, He is mending, He is keeping. Dear Lord, praise God. Anyone else with a prayer request this morning or need? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, there's victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Love each and every one of you. Praise God.
Glory.
Seeing a lot of smiles, a lot of relief. If you don't know this Jesus, today is the perfect day to know who Jesus is. Praise God. And as we get ready to dismiss, and I want to invite you all back for service this evening. In this final prayer, we know that God is victorious, and we're just giving Him all the glory. But if there's any, I know we'd asked earlier if there was any unspoken prayer request or prayer requests and needs. But I feel right now, after seeing the might of God and knowing what He's doing, that you may have someone else or something else in your heart that God's shown to you. So as we, with this prayer, if you've got a prayer request, or you feel there's a situation that maybe it was just shown to you this morning, that's putting God first. That's all. Anyone else with a prayer or need, just show by the raising of your hand. I see those hands. Praise God. Come back and join us tonight. Don't forget choir practice at 5. All the other announcements that's going forth. God is in the house, and He's not just First Pentecostal. He's everywhere. This is the most active, and I can say this, I've heard all my life, that God's coming back soon. But if we read Scripture and we know that He's opening up the young, He's showing things that so many haven't seen before, and we're just going to give Him all the glory and just pursue Him. All righty. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Come back tonight. And again, visitors, if you haven't had a chance to shake our hand, let us see you before you leave. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is so powerful. It's truth, the living Word of God. Lord, we thank You for the service this morning, for each and everyone in attendance. Lord, I ask now, dear Lord, as we go forth, that again, dear Lord, there's more situations, dear Lord, that we're releasing to You. Maybe we've been trying to hold them in tight, but Lord, we know without You, we can't handle it. Lord Jesus, we're putting You first, and we're giving each and every situation to You. Lord, we ask You to keep us safe. We thank You for answering these prayers that have been brought forth this morning. And Lord, we just love You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, I ask You now as we get prepared to leave, bring us back. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.